Imagine facing up to 3 years in a maximum security prison just because you picked up a piece of dead wood off the ground.
Right. Sounds like something out of a dystopian movie, honestly.
Yeah, it really does. But today, we're doing a deep dive into a 2012 South African Government Gazette notice.
Ah, yes. The one issued by Minister Tina Jomat-Pettersson under the National Forests Act of 1998.
That's the one. Okay, let's unpack this, because we are talking about a law that treats certain trees not just as plants, but as heavily guarded state assets.
It's intense. Usually, you know, when we think of extreme conservation laws, we picture armed guards around endangered rhinos.
Right, not a literal legal fortress for trees.
Exactly. But this document establishes an absolute legal perimeter around specific flora. It's treating botanical life with the same zero tolerance policy a government might use for, say, illegal narcotics or firearms.
Wait, so 3 years in a cell for picking up a branch, is it really that broad? I mean, if a storm knocks down a limb, I can't just move it off a trail or take it home for firewood?
You really can't. What's fascinating here is how Section 15(1) of the Act is engineered to eliminate literally any possible loopholes.
So it isn't just a ban on showing up to a forest with a chainsaw.
No, not at all. Mm-hmm. Without a specific ministerial license, you cannot cut, disturb, or destroy these trees. But the real teeth of the law is in the supply chain.
Supply chain meaning what exactly?
Meaning you cannot possess, collect, transport, buy, sell, or even donate any part of them, or any, quote, forest product derived from them.
So if I buy a carved wooden bowl at a market, and it happens to be the wrong type of wood, I'm technically a criminal.
Under the letter of the law, yes.
Wow.
Yeah. By criminalizing mere possession, the government doesn't have to prove you were the one who cut the tree down. If you have the wood, you are liable.
That is wild.
It is. And the notice explicitly classifies contravention as a first category offense. That puts damaging a tree on the same severity tier as major commercial poaching.
Or like illegal toxic dumping. Okay, but to justify that kind of draconian legal framework, something severe must be happening to these trees. Here's where it gets really interesting, because looking at Schedule A, we see incredibly iconic species.
Yeah, these aren't just obscure little shrubs.
Right. We're talking about the baobab, the camel thorn, the marula, the stinkwood. Why are these specific trees targeted for this extreme level of protection?
Well, it comes down to a collision between biological vulnerability and, you know, intense human demand.
Like they just can't bounce back fast enough?
Yeah. Many of these species, like the baobab or the towering Otenicba yellowwood, have incredibly slow growth rates.
Right.
A large yellowwood can be hundreds of years old. You cannot just replant them and fix the ecosystem in a decade.
I see. And people want them for different reasons.
Exactly. Species like the stinkwood are highly prized for luxury furniture, and others are heavily harvested for traditional medicine.
So the law has to act as a hammer.
It does, because the economic incentive to harvest them far outpaces their biological ability to recover.
That makes total sense. It's not about keeping a park pretty. It's about stopping a slow-motion extinction driven by commercial value.
Precisely.
And you see that deep value reflected in the document itself. Like, it isn't just a sterile list of Latin botanical names.
Oh, the language section, yeah.
Yeah. The species are officially listed in English, Afrikaans, Northern Sotho, Tswana, Venda, Xhosa, and Zulu.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the sheer linguistic diversity of this gazette proves these aren't just rare scientific specimens.
Right, they're deeply embedded in the culture.
They are keystone species for human culture, too. The marula tree, for instance, known as marula in Sotho and Tswana, and Ungano in Zulu, is the backbone of local economies and traditions.
So protecting the biological entity is the only way to protect the heritage intertwined with it.
Over centuries, yeah.
It really turns this gazette into an archive of cultural identity, disguised as a legalist.
That's a great way to put it.
So what does this all mean? It completely rewrites the script on how you might interact with the environment.
It really shifts your perspective.
Yeah, you realize that a simple hike in the woods isn't just a stroll through unknown nature. You're walking through a highly regulated space.
Where the biological infrastructure is considered far too valuable and too vulnerable to be left to human common sense.
Exactly.
It enforces a hard boundary between us and the environment. And this raises an important question for you to mull over today.
All right, leave us with something to think about.
If a government has to wield the threat of a 3-year prison sentence just to stop people from simply collecting or selling pieces of a tree, what does that reveal about our innate, almost uncontrollable human urge to consume nature?